If you have your word with you today, your Bibles with you today, open your Bibles with me this morning before we get into our text to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. You know, in the time that we're in, the things that are taking place in our nation and the things that are taking place in our world, God wants to remind us that he's still on the throne and he's still King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And nothing's gone past his notice. He knows everything that's taking place and he wants you to understand that he has you and the whole of his hand. Amen. That he has plans and purposes for each and every life. And his plans are for good and not for evil, plans that give us hope and give us an expected end. But I love what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 35, verse number 4. He said, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, and even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you." God says, fear not. Don't worry. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for each and every one of us. And we're knowing that all things are working together for the good, for them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose, and you've been called according to his purpose, and God called you and ordained you to be here today because God has something he wants to say to every last one, and he will not leave one person out. God wants you to understand today that you're just as valuable as everyone else, and what you're going through, even though it may seem tremendous and may seem huge and it may seem like a big mountain, God says, I can say to that mountain, be removed, and it'll be removed and cast into the sea, but your trust and hope must rest in him. He's our very peace in the time of trouble. Amen. So today, and for our text, open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. And the Word of God says, in verse number 11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. As we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient unto all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." You know, the Lord was reminding me, the title of this morning's message is The Worrier's Warfare. The Word of God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God wants to turn you from a worrier to a warrior. Look to the one next to you and say, God wants to transform you from your worries to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. So in our text today, he says, one, to warn of, two, to warm off, and three, to ward off. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here to this house to accomplish what you sent it here to do. As Isaiah spoke of old, Father God, and prayed, send the angel with those tongs to the altar, Father God. Take those coals from the altar and place them upon my lips, Father God, because I'm a man of unclean lips. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Father, will there not be one that's left out? Will you meet each and every one right where they're at and love on them so much that you'll take them to glory, even by your Spirit? So, Lord, we say, have your way in this atmosphere today. Have your way in every heart and life. For those that know you, Father God, quicken the spirit within him. For those that once knew you and drifted away, draw them back to you today. Father God, if there's any here in my by the sound of my voice that do not know you, may today be the day of their salvation. Father God, move on every heart and every life, I pray, and will never cease to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So first he wants to warn. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you might take a pencil and a pen and write down scriptures, because I'm going to be all through the word. Amen. I was reminded of the Apostle Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. Understand that when God is writing to a church, he's writing to the body of Christ, he's writing to each and every one of us, and recognize from Genesis to Revelation, it was written to the believer. The unbeliever don't believe it. Amen. It's written to the believer. And he says in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For many in this room, I'm your spiritual father. I'm the one that led you to Jesus. I'm the one that has been discipling you. I'm the one that's saying to you that we're studying to show ourselves approved workmen that need of not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, as we learn the truth, it's the truth that makes us free, and it's the truth that keeps us free. The only thing that brings us in bondage is falsehood and deception. And we have to understand that the adversary that we're fighting is the father of all lies. He's the father of deception. It almost looks like the truth, but it isn't the truth. It's almost the truth. And if it's not the full truth, it's not God. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie, neither the son of man I need to repent. Whatever I say takes place. Amen. And I'm not saying whatever Pastor Carl says. I'm saying whatever God says. Amen. And God is speaking to you and I from his word. And no matter what man is saying, if it doesn't align with God's word, it's not from God. Because God isn't going to change his mind. Times and seasons will change, but his word will remain the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He is God. He changes not, neither does his word. Hallelujah. You know, we change the way we address it, the way that we minister it to the different generations, but the word remains the same. We may do something different. My daddy would have probably flipped if he saw us doing spiritual exercises in the church today. My dad would have flipped. My granddaddy would have probably had a heart attack. Okay. Amen. But God is new, and his mercy is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And he says he's doing a new thing amongst us. And God says when he's getting ready to do a new thing, you can't keep holding on to the old. You can never do something new if you're always looking back to the old. I learned from the old, but I'm ready to step into the new. Amen. Amen. How about you? Are you ready? He tells you and I not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And though, in other words, my mind has to adjust to this. Amen. And it's a constant battle. Hallelujah. So I have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many know that your mind wanders everywhere? How many know we're living in a time when things are happening so fast, it's hard to get anybody's attention? I want you to know the Holy Spirit has your attention today, because God has something he wants to say to you. Amen. He's been speaking to you, he's been witnessing to you, and he's going to affirm what he told you. God isn't bringing me to tell you something he hasn't told you. He's bringing me to affirm what he's already said to you. Hallelujah. 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 But sometimes when you heard that thing from the Lord, he said, man, was that you, Lord? Well, he's going to let you know it was him today. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in Romans chapter 15, we're talking about to warn. Romans 15. To warn of. Was I just at? Have you ever had a Holy Spirit? Do you ever have a lapse? I don't want to go there. No. Yes, I do. I'll make up your mind. I'll make up my mind. Amen. Amen. Romans 15. Verse number 14. Understand with me, for anybody that's thinking I'm going through something or I'm having some mental breakdown, I'm not having a mental breakdown. Amen. I'm not sick, okay? Don't speak those things into my body. I lost my train of thought for a moment. How many have lost your train of thought before? Hallelujah. How many know that your mind is constantly going and you look over something there and you say something and then you say, no, I'll deal with that later. And the Holy Spirit says, deal with it now. And you're sitting there battling, should I deal with it now, Lord, or should I wait? Hallelujah. The Word of God says this. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 15, 14, he said, and I myself am persuaded of you, brethren. That you are full of goodness with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. And in other words, we're to urge one another to do what's right. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so when you see your brother doing wrong, we're not condemning our brother. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We're not condemning our brother, but in love, we urge him, say, hey, amen. Hey, we warn of danger that's coming. Amen. And the prophet Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 20. We're talking about to warn. Warning the righteous. The word of God says in verse 20, and again, when the righteous man when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. In other words, when somebody's leaving the right way to follow the wrong way, the God's trying to trip them up to keep them going the wrong way. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, I was looking at that, and probably my age is going to come out. I'm 65. Oh, yeah. And I was reminded of, as a child, and I was thinking about when I was lost, there was a TV show, it was black and white. It was called Lost in Space. for the older folks might remember it. And lost in space, there was Dr. Smith. And Dr. Smith had a robot. And mainly all the robot said is warning, 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 warning. He was always warning of incoming danger. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly warning you and I of dangers, not only for dangers that are coming towards us, but are dangers that are coming into our families, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, dangers that are coming to this world. Amen. There's all kinds of dangers that are coming to this world. And God says it's the time for the church to arise in the midst of this. This isn't the time for the church to hide. This is the time for the church to arise. Arise and shine. Let my light shine that men may see your good works and give my Father in heaven all the glory. So the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 28. All my friends at Facebook are praying for me because I lost myself here a moment ago. And verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So first he says that he's to change or be transformed from a worrier to a warrior, we have to take heed to the warning. Secondly, he spoke to me and said to warm often. And when I was looking at that, he was reminding me to comfort, to warn, he says, to comfort the feeble-minded. And when I was thinking about to comfort the feeble-minded, I was thinking about a comforter. And if any of you women or men even may knit or crochet or whatever, however you make a comforter or you sew with the machine, amen. And when it gets cold, you put that comforter over you and it warms you. God has given us the greatest comforter. The comforter is the Holy Ghost that's inside of you and I. It'll warm us even in the coldest times when we're facing the most adversity. We are comforted. Because he warms us up. And so to warm, I'm thinking about being comforted. Amen. We're going to get all cozy with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, he said in verse number 1, he said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And when I was thinking about being comforted, to be warmed, the Lord reminded me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul introduces the gifts of the Spirit being operated in the body of Christ. And chapter 13 of Corinthians, it's a love chapter. We recognize it. It says all of it's meshed in love, because if it doesn't have love, it's just a bunch of noise. Okay, so what we're doing in love. But in chapter 14, he goes to the explanation, okay? He gives us explanation, and he shows with us, but he that prophesieth, he that speaketh forth the word, speaks it forth for your edification, for your exhortation, and for your comfort. I'm thanking God for the comforts of God. You know, the Apostle Paul said, even in the midst of the storm, you know that the Lord changed things while he was on the road this morning at 3:00 this morning? Amen. And you got that report of one thing, but that wasn't what was happening when he left the house. I just want you to know, okay? Amen. And the Apostle Paul in his second letter to, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, the apostle writes this. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who does what? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Church, God says, let me comfort you. And when I comfort you by my comforter, you will be able to comfort someone else. But don't try to comfort someone else until you yourself are comforted, because you'll be speaking in the flesh and not in the spirit. If you're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh, you will flow and operate and do as I called you to do. Amen. The God of all comfort comforts us so we can comfort others. Amen. So when you've been comforted and God makes you feel real good, it's just not for you. Hello? I mean, we can say, thank you, Jesus, for making me feel so good. Oh, that felt good. But God says, hey, now take that and make someone else feel good. Amen? Hey, you know, because we're vessels for His glory and for His honor and for His praise. Amen? So with that in mind, He reminded me what Jesus said in John chapter 14. John 14. Are you with me, church? He reminds us in verse 26, Jesus speaking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God hasn't given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. How do I have the spirit of love, power, and love, and sound mind? Because we have the mind of Christ. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. So God says, hey, He brought His word to warn of what's coming, to warm us up, to warm often. Amen. I don't know about you. I was really enjoying this week in the change of temperatures. Amen. Amen. I am grateful for the extended day. Amen. 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 Because He tells us to walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we're walking in the light as it's light. Amen. Remember, we're children of the day, not of night. God sends us out in darkness, but we're not of darkness. When we go into darkness, we should light up the place that we go. One of the things, here's a witness to somebody. If God calls you to go out in darkness and calls you to go somewhere in darkness, always take another light with you, because two lights are always better than one. Hello? I don't know. If I'm only lit up so much and somebody else is lit up. I've been around some people where my bulb is dull, and I've been around others where my light is a little brighter, but every light matters. If you look in this room, and there's many lights in this room, and if we turn off some of the lights in this room or turn down and dim the lights, it will get darker in this room. The more light bulbs, the more light that fills the area. God says, let our light shine in the place. There's no better place to praise God. Don't worry about what somebody thinks. Get outside of yourself. It's time for you to jump. It's time for you to shout. It's time for you to praise God. You shouted at the ballparks. You shouted at the football game. You shouted at people when they didn't do what you wanted them to do. God says shout and give Him some praise. Shout and give Him some glory. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the honor. Let's give Him some shout in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's not going to hurt for us to get a little excited about Jesus. You know, if we're going to reach this world that's dying and it's going to hell, we have the answers. If we go out with the mindset the way we act sometimes, you know, come here, but you're really not good enough. I don't know about you, but I know where God found me. God found me in the miry clay. Amen. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put a song in my heart today. Well, see, I was going to sing, but then the Lord said, you want to keep them? You know, He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. He didn't say that you had to sound with harmony. He didn't say, in my heart the rings of melody, precious harmony. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to him. Hallelujah. And he doesn't matter what you hear. If you love the Lord, say, he's making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when we take the warning that God's given us and we allow the Spirit to warm us up, we begin to ward off the adversary. That's where that worrier is transformed to a warrior. Amen. Amen. He says to you and I in Acts chapter 20, are you still with me? Amen. You finish course, you might get a t-shirt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says in verse 35, he says, I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Sometimes some of the ministers use that to collect an offering, but that isn't what the Father's talking about. You're right. If it's Jesus calling, say, well, the apostle was saying that we ought to support the weak. In other words, we're to minister to one another. Amen. I don't know about you, but constantly, I said it before, the Lord reminds me where he found me. Yes. You know, when the Lord came into my bedroom of my home and called me into ministry, I had a crack pipe in my hand. I was a cocaine addict for 18 years. I had a $3,000 a week crack habit. I was bound in a prisoner in my house and I couldn't come out. And the Lord came into the room of my house, delivered me from my addiction, and called me into ministry. I'm here because God is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I don't talk about that a lot now. That's been a few years ago. But I never forget October the 12th, 1997, he came into my room and set me free. On October the 13th, 1997, my wife cleaned out the junk in the room. And October the 14th, 1997, I got raided by 23 state and federal officers. They raided my business and my home, and they walked out without me. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I answered the call on my life. And if I didn't answer the call, I would have had to go a different route. Yes. I'm standing in federal court. I'm standing in federal court downtown. There's a stack of records. A stack of research were there, or investigation of me. They had a stack of that high. And the judge looked at the U.S. attorney and said, what do we have here? He said, Your Honor, we can't figure out nothing. And the Holy Spirit says, I will confound the wise. Amen. In other words, because I answered the call. And God wants you to know that everyone in the room is called. You may not have been where I've been, and you may not have done what I've done, but God has a calling upon your life. And the call of God is irrevocable. It will not change. And the sooner you say, okay, Lord, the sooner things will begin to change all around you. The thing we're looking for is we're looking for everything to change, but we won't let him to change us. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. We're not doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but one thing I look into God's word says, he says to you and I, he says, I'm no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where was I? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love Jesus?
Yes.
Look to the one next to you and say, God wants you to know that you have great value and you have great worth. No matter what the devil has brought your way, if you trust me, God says, I will turn things around. I will make all things new. I will do a thing in your life. I've already spoke to you. I already spoke to you. I already said what I would do. You got to trust me in and through it. You got to lean not to your own understanding and all your ways. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Your steps have been ordered by me, and I've got some delight for you, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Somebody wants some delight? If the joy of the Lord is our strength, what should happen here right now?
Joy!
Joy! Joy! Joy! You know what makes the devil mad? When he comes in and tries to rock your boat, you start laughing at him. Hallelujah. Why? Because your joy is from the Spirit of God. It comes from within, not without. In other words, it's not about what takes place that gives you your joy. Your joy is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Hallelujah. You have to have the faith to have the joy. You have to have faith to have the peace. You have to have faith to have the love. Come on. Come on, come on. You either trust God or not. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will give you direction. Amen. Know that your steps have been ordered by the Lord, and there's delight. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like delight. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Romans chapter 15, and we're talking to ward off, right? The apostle says in verse number 1, Romans 15, 1. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Amen. What does edification mean? We're going to build one another up. There's enough tearing down in the world. Nobody needs to come to the church and be torn down. But everyone needs to be built up. That's why he says, study to show yourselves approved. Workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when I was looking at that to ward off the adversary and ministering to the weak, the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 9 just to remind us again. How many times do you think the Lord has to remind you and I before we finally get something? Is anybody as hard-headed as me? Hallelujah. That we're a team, honey. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul says this. You got to get a hold of this because it's important. He says, to the weak, verse 22, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In other words, what the Father says, I have to get right down to the level where my brother and sister is and meet them right where they're at. And what the Lord says to us, he says, don't forget where I found you. You didn't get to where you are with me overnight. I took you through a journey. And recognize that we're all on a journey. But he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Amen. There's no giving up. You know, I had my younger brother used to have hair, but he lost all of his hair discipling me. My brother Benny. Benny, you're probably watching, all right? Because I just didn't study the word. I was a man with all kinds of questions. Amen. I wanted to know the truth, and I was seeking the truth, amen, of God's word. And I had disciples around here, but my brother Ben, sometimes he'd did us ask him sometime when I called. It was usually when everyone else wanted to rest. That's when I was up with questions. Amen. Amen. But the Lord wants us to understand is God's called us to reach this community, and we're getting ready to have an outreach out here. And we've been going and praying over this community. And God called me to reach the world, but he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. He said, don't miss your Jerusalem. Go into the uttermost parts of the world. He says, I placed you with a Jerusalem, and I want you to take to Jerusalem for my kingdom. Amen. And we've been over praying over this community. And every Sunday night we go have a prayer team that's going out and we're praying over this community. And I'm telling you something. There's something that's happening in the spirit realm there. There's things that are being broken. Things are being opened. Hearts are being receptive. And God's going to do a marvelous and a wonderful thing. And as soon as he does the Jerusalem, then he'll go to Judea. And then he'll go to Samaria. And then he'll go to the othermost parts of the world. Why? Because he said he would. Amen. And I believe God in his word. He's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. So in James chapter 5, I guess I'll close this up. The Lord reminds us in closing today, I have to be wary of, it's my thought, you know, we're open, we're learning. And he reminds us in verse 7, of James 5, he said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he have long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Amen. I believe there's a latter rain that's coming to this nation, to this world, and God's going to pour out his spirit like it's never been witnessed before. There's an end time, latter end harvest of souls that's coming, and God's called you for a time such as now. Amen. And so when you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't see this or I don't see this, he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. God has a plan. And he has a purpose for every life. So what is he saying to you and I in closing today? He's saying, one, to warn. The warning that God is speaking to our heart is that the Lord wants us to recognize and realize that he is going to hold us accountable to his word. Rather I'm seasoned or unseasoned, it doesn't matter. It's gotten to the point in the body of Christ, I'm going to say this because the Holy Spirit is saying the same. It's gotten to the point in the body of Christ that the water is so watered down, it doesn't have any effect any longer. The word is being spoken for what everyone wants to hear, not what they need to hear. In the Father's heart is first and foremost crying for his church. His son, he purchased it. He paid the price for all of us. It's been done, and he's warning us. He's given us the Spirit of God to warm us up. And I don't think God just wants us to be warmed up. I think God wants us fired up. I believe God wants you and I on fire for him. And when we're walking in the fire of God, we'll be able to ward off all the ploys of the adversary. And he constantly reminds you and I, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary. Come on, church. Let us not grow weary in well-doing for a due season. That family member you've been praying for, that loved one you've been praying for, that work associate. God is hearing your prayers and He's moving upon hearts and lives. Paul says one plants and another waters, but God gives the increase so that he that planteth and he that watereth may rejoice together. Even over here, we're stepping into other men's labors. There's been seeds that have been sown that are laying in dormant soil. God's going to shake the ground. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent it to the house today to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart and every life. First and foremost, maybe you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you accepted him, but you've not been serving him and you sense him drawing you back today. If that is you, would you slip up your hand and say, that is me? Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anyone at all? Don't be afraid. God loves you right where you're at. He'll love you so much, he won't leave you there. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're thankful, Father God, that you're the searcher of every heart and every life. Father, you're speaking to your body today. You're speaking to the church. Father, I thank you, Father God. I'm calling forth and I'm calling back the prodigals, Father God, in Jesus' name. Those that once served you that have drifted away, Father God, I pray that you meet them right where they're at today, Father God. And may God arise in their hearts and lives, and may the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. I speak to the body of Christ, Father God, that you've given us warning of your word, that you sent your word to warm up our hearts and our lives so that we can ward off the adversary, and that we would be wary of what's taking place in our nation and in our world. It's time for the church to be the church. You called us, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Father, may we recognize that we're heavenites. We're just sojourning here, Father God. So Father, we praise you and we give you glory for all that you've done. May we take those words that were spoken today. May we meditate upon them. May we not only chew on them, Father God, but may we swallow them so that they have effect on our soul, spirit, and man's spirit in Jesus' name. And we'll never cease to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.